You write about other people's expectations of how long you should grieve. This sort of idea that, isn't it time to get over it?
Right.
How do you deal with that?
How do we deal with other people's expectations? I think first off, we need to get some support from people who understand the nature of grief so that we don't get wrapped up in societal expectations of what that grief should be. Grief lasts a very, very long time. And the pain of grief can get better, should get better over time when the grief is well mourned. So it should soften with time. But I will always miss the people I love who are no longer here physically on the earth with me. And I will always feel the repercussions of their loss. The people who are missing in my family or who I love otherwise will not be there to take a place at not just a holiday meal, but also to take their place in life. So the loss of my sister means that her children will always need a loving aunt to help them through difficult times, and that my role will be different from the role what it would have been had she lived. So these are experiences that we will always have.
But I think some people will hear about some of the practical activities that you say people might find helpful, like journaling, writing about the person you've lost, or making a T-shirt quilt to remember the person you've lost, and say that's prolonging your grief. It's prolonging the mourning because you're reminding yourself in a physical way. And I presume you don't think that. So tell us why not.
I don't think that. That's a really good question. I don't think that because I know that the loss is there anyway. And to ignore it is to stuff it down. To do something with it is to acknowledge this person's presence in my life. And so, in fact, for me and for many people, it is the doing of something that is the helpful part. So it is the stitching on the quilt, the actual literal sewing time. It's the time spent in writing about someone or writing a poem, writing a eulogy that takes us into the moment. We hear a lot about meditation and being in the moment. It takes us into the moment of working with the love and the loss, because they go together, and helps us to create something out of that moment that then is memorable. In the case of a quilt, you know, it's a very simple thing. Even those of us who can't sew can probably put together a T-shirt quilt. And in my book, I give you instructions on how to do that. Mm-hmm. It's after the doing of the cutting up the T-shirts and the putting them together and the stitching of the quilt, then there's this object that I can wrap around me when I feel sad or when I just want to smile with a good memory, and I look at the quilt and I look at the T-shirts and I say, I remember that. I remember being there with so-and-so. And I think this particular T-shirt is so representative of her personality and that sort of thing. So it's the doing of something and then the sharing of it that is so helpful.
You mentioned a smile. What role does humor play in mourning, or can it play?
Well, I think it's very necessary. If we're grieving and if we're honest, those people who are listening or watching this through the internet will say that we are grieving somebody. I think it's really important to remember that smiling and laughter are crucial to being a healthy human being. When I'm deeply grieving, I turn on inane television shows. And I watch them just so I can laugh, or I listen to a radio station in my car where all it is silly jokes and stand-up comedians giving their performances. and I have to laugh. I think that that's very important to being healthy and whole and seeing the good parts of life, even when I'm sad.
So your book lays out a lot of different kinds of activities, some of them physical activities of the hand and hands and of the body, but you also talk about mourning with our spirits, with our emotions, our minds, mourning socially. How do you reach a point of saying, if you're in the habit of doing all these activities, that it's time to stop one of them, it's time to let it go?
I think you'll know to let it go because it just will no longer have meaning for you, or you'll just feel better in that area. It's okay to acknowledge that I will always miss this person. I will always love her, him, and I will always grieve that loss, and that life is good, and I can continue living. I mean, that's the point. We were made to live and live well until we die. That's what humans are constructed to do. I think to do that, we need to acknowledge our losses and know that those losses will come up again and again, but we can move away from loss and enjoy life. And then if the pain comes up, then we can deal with the pain in a healthy and constructive way, something that acknowledges that it's real and that it's valid. And then we can feel better. And it's an ebb and flow in life. It's not a system of I have a loss and therefore I have to grieve and therefore I have to get better and move on. No, we don't move on. We simply continue to live.
So is that what you mean when you write about mourning as a journey toward hope?
Yes. Hope is, one person described hope as hold on, possibilities exists. H-O-P-E, hold on, possibilities exist. Possibilities always exist in our lives. And whenever we love, we can know that sometime we will hurt. And the idea is to engage both and say, yes, sometimes I hurt, I can love, I will continue to love, and life can be good.
You've given us a lot to think about. Thank you.
You're welcome.